All right. Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kelly S., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Oklahoma. Today is Thursday, July 27th. Today, we're going to be reading from the Big Book, and we are reading page 75, the third paragraph, beginning with Returning Home We Find, through two paragraphs, ending with To Help Us Be Willing, on page 76, but we will be commenting on the second paragraph only. First one's for context. So today's readers are Barbara E. for 12 Steps, Hoodie R. for the 12 Traditions. The readers of the text will be Terry A.H. and Nessa R. The reference numbers for Wednesday, yesterday, July 26, 7 a.m. meeting are 10206, and the 10 a.m. meeting is 10207. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Barbara E. to read the 12 steps. Barbara?
Thank you. Thank you for your service, Kelly E. This is Barbara E. from New Jersey. The 12 steps. We admitted we were powerless over food and our lives had become unmanageable. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we'd harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service. I pass.
Thank you, Barbara E. And now, Hoodie R. will read the 12 traditions.
Hi, Kelly. This is Hoodie. I'm being heard.
Hi, Hoodie. You're being heard.
Well, okay, this is Hoodie R, and I'm from Israel. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. And 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before our personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Hoodie R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book means to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So today we are studying in the Big Book. We are on page 75, third paragraph, beginning with returning home, we find, and we're going to read through two paragraphs, ending on 76 to help us be willing. So the first paragraph on 75 is just for context only, and we're going to have comments on the paragraph on page 76, that first paragraph. And Terry H. will begin our reading.
Good morning, Kelly. Good morning, A Vision for You. My name is Terry A.H. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Maine. Returning home, we find a place where we can be quiet for an hour, carefully reviewing what we have done. We thank God from the bottom of our heart that we know Him better. Taking this book down from our shelf, we turn to the page which contains the 12 steps. Carefully reading the first 5 proposals, we ask if we have omitted anything, for we are building an arch through which we shall walk a free man at last. Is our work solid so far? Are the stones properly in place? Have we skimped on the cement, put in the foundation? Have we tried to make mortar without sand? If we can answer to our satisfaction, we then look at step 6. We have emphasized willingness as being indispensable. Are we now ready to let God remove from us all the things which we have admitted are objectionable? Can He now take them all, every one? If we still cling to something, we will not let go. We ask God to help us be willing. I'm starting my timer. So this is the directions for step 6. It's pretty simple and straightforward. So this doesn't say anything about me working on my character defects, because if I could work on my character defects, then I would be saying that I have the power to change myself and that I would not have a good foundation in step 1, that if I'm saying that I have the power to change myself, I wouldn't be powerless. So what I would be saying is that I wouldn't need God if I could work on my defects. So it says, if I can answer to my satisfaction the previous questions, which they're talking about on page 75, the bottom of 75, what I just read, it's for me to be sure that my stones are in place, that I'm not just building a house that's not going to withstand a storm. It's I'm not looking for temporary relief. I'm looking for like a brick house that can't be blown down. And so I ask myself, are there any cracks? And so I'm looking at step 6, the willingness to change, being indispensable, meaning absolute necessary. So I asked myself, am I now ready? If, you know, and if I go back through everything in my life, you know, that I just find objectionable, which I just did in step five, and objectionable means, you know, unwanted, unacceptable, or offensive, all I'm doing in step six is just being willing to look at something from a different angle, from a different perspective. Like, step five moves me into six. And so I just need to look at what I've done and be willing to change. It's a start of letting go of control. And step six says if I'm still clinging to something, that I have to ask myself, why won't I let it go? And why do I have to hang on to this? And here's the prayer, you know, we ask God to help us be willing. And it's step six is really just getting me ready for step seven. And, you know, I've seen in step five how much I do need God to change. And so it's setting me up for the next step. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
All right. Thank you, Terry A.H. So one at a time. Who would like to read or share on the paragraph, that just that second paragraph, or which is the first paragraph on page 76? Who would like to share on that?
Nancy
H. Barbara.
Julie R.
Barbara A.
Kimmy R.
Okay, wait, stop, because so far all I have is Katie G., Julie R., and Nessa R., and I heard a lot of other mumbling.
Barbara K.
Tina F.
Barbara
Melissa
H.
K.
E. Larry.
Nancy H. Okay, stop for just a second. I have, well, here's where we're going to start for now. I have Katie G., Julie R., Nessa R., Nancy H., Barbara E., Tina S., Melissa C., and Larry K. And we're going to stop there, and we'll get some more in a little bit. So if everybody will make sure they mute their phone, and press star 1 to mute your phone, and we will start with Katie G.
Hi, Kelly. Can I be heard?
You can.
Good morning, everyone. This is Katie G., recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic and bulimic, starting my timer in Boston. Yeah, I mean, so much about step 6 has evolved. For me, when I first took these steps, I was like, yep, these character defects, they stink. I hate them. And, you know, for me, I've heard some speakers that have really helped me really identify where I'm clinging to things, because it can be really easy when I get the consequences of my character defect. So at work, I'm gossiping about other people, and I get this, like, I then find out other people are talking about me. So then I'm doing a 10th step and I'm angry, and those consequences of my character defect are uncomfortable, right? But then I'm doing it over and over and over again, and I need God's help, because the thing is, for me, I cling to my character defects. Like, who am I going to be, right? Like, if I don't gossip, maybe I won't have a false sense of intimacy with you. And if I don't feel intimate with you, I really need God. So willingness for me is about, like, God hasn't actually ever struck me willing. He struck me, like, comfortable with discomfort and held my hand when I'm willing to take an opposite action. You know, when I'm willing to, you know, be aware that, you know, talking about other people is terrible, but to actually, like, when I feel that need to talk about other people, to pause, to pray, to talk to God, you know, and am I willing to walk through fear? And again, for me, so much of willingness, just like in step one, you know, people call me and they're like, I'm praying for the willingness to be willing to put down the food. For me, like, God never took the food out of my mouth. I had to be desperate, dying and doomed. And guess what? Like, talk to my sponsor, talk to my friends, like, I don't get willing until I'm desperate, dying, and doomed around the character defects. You know, am I willing to identify that actually I'm clinging to anger because when I'm angry, I get to be better than all of you. If I'm judging you, I don't have to see my own imperfections. I actually have to see myself as I really am. So, like, willingness for me is a desperation. It's like, oh my gosh, God, I keep thinking I need this behavior to be okay. How am I going to shift that perspective? Like step five, help me see like all this awful stuff that happens when I do my character defects, but am I willing to let go of the what I think is the price? Because for me, and I'll close with this, there's a difference between relief and freedom. Relief is what the food brought me. Freedom is what willingness brings me. It is action and walking through fear. I'm going to keep showing up one more day. With that, I do pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Katie G. And next is Julie R., followed by Nessa R. Good morning, Julie.
Hi, thank you. Good morning. This is Julie R., recovered compulsive overeater in California. And, you know, step six is this short and sweet and simple. And I have worked, quote unquote, step six, a barrage of different ways where there's multiple questions and weeks of writing. And when I really went through it the way it's supposed to be worked, I was surprised. Not only, of course, it's done right after step five, six, and seven at one sitting with your sponsor, but the relief that I was able to get, not that I wasn't going to be grandiose and I wasn't going to be arrogant and I wasn't going to be impatient and I wasn't going to do character assassination, but it was that I was willing to have God take them because they have outlived their usefulness. I mean, and I got to see in my fifth step the havoc that I created using these character defects. You know, they were actually a part of me. I mean, some of them were ingrained for 30, 40 years. So it wasn't like something I could just snap my fingers and I was never going to act out in them again. So, you know, because if I had that power to just wake up and not be arrogant, then I could have done the same thing with the food. But, you know, I don't have that power, choice, or control when it comes to those things. And, you know, it specifically asks you those questions on page 75. So if you can answer to your satisfaction, it doesn't say that you're going to wake up and everything is going to be okay. It says if I can answer that I did the best that I can, that I have my stones in place, that the house isn't going to come crumbling down, then to move on. And it was really interesting because I got to see things in me pointed out through my sponsor that I didn't know I had certain character defects. I just thought it was part of being a good character of somebody, you know, strong-willed, determined, aggressive in the workforce. Well, I got to see that, you know, there are some aggressiveness that are over the top. So, you know, it was great because I was able to say, God, I'm done with these. Please take them. And I continue to ask God to relieve me of certain character defects. I can't, you know, go and work on patience just so that I'm not impatient. I just have to continue to seek God. So, you know, I did cling to some of them, but I could continue to turn them over to God. And, you know, they're 90% better. So this is a very exciting step, and I'm getting ready to take one of my sponsees through her fifth step shortly, and we'll do 5, 6, and 7 in one sitting. So that I pass.
Thank you, Julie R. And next is Nessa R., followed by Nancy H.
Good morning, Vision for You. This is Nessa R. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. So step six is we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. And what makes me entirely ready? That is steps 4 and 5. You know, if I have done those steps correctly, I have seen all the havoc that my character defects have led me to create in my own life and in other people's lives, all the pain that I've suffered and I've made other people suffer, all because of those character defects. And seeing that doesn't make me entirely ready, then I've missed something in steps 4 and 5, and I really got to go and look at those steps because by this time, I should be more than ready to have them taken away from me, which I guess brings me to the issue of willingness. And I have learned from a very dear fellow in program that willingness doesn't mean wanting to do something. Willingness means doing something even though I may not want to. I've learned also from Joe and Charlie. I guess I'm a kind of Joe and Charlie groupie. I listen to all their tapes that I can get my hands on, their books, etc. That step six involves acting as if, because I cannot ask God in step seven, God, remove my defects of character, remove my dishonesty, for example. But in the meantime, until, you know, you remove it, I'm going to keep lying to myself and lying to others, lying by omission, lying by commission. You know, that doesn't demonstrate any willingness on my part, you know. If I am truly willing and ready to have God remove my dishonesty and turn me into an honest person, I got to demonstrate that by behaving differently than I have been behaving up until now. Otherwise, you know, it's really just empty words. Otherwise, just the willingness is not really there. You know, if I really see how much pain and suffering my dishonesty have cost me and others, then I'm willing to stop. I'm willing to stop. And it doesn't mean that the defect has been removed or that I'm trying to remove the defect myself. It means that I still have an urge to lie to myself, to others, etc. But I go against my inclination to lie, and I become honest until God removes that desire to lie, that inclination, that propensity, that proclivity to lie. Until then, I still have work to do. You know, just because step six is one paragraph, it doesn't mean that I don't have any work to do, because this is a program of action. And again, willingness means doing something, i.e. action, even though I may not want to. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Nessa R. Next up is Nancy H., followed by Barbara E.
Good morning, everyone. This is Nancy H. from Massachusetts. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. When I first read this paragraph, I thought, sounds pretty simple. Despite the clarity I had, I thought it meant working like a dog to get rid of these defects. And then I asked God to remove the ones I most wanted gone. And, of course, that was wrong. I was powerless over doing that by myself. And so I had to be willing and ready to have God remove them in his time and in the order that he saw fit. So God is the only one who can get rid of my defects. I have to cooperate with him and do my best, you know, to do his will for that day. But I'm hopeless if I were trying to change them on my own. So I'm ready to, you know, if I'm ready to let God remove them and let God decide which ones he wants removed, and that's going to be actually in the order of my usefulness to others, not in the order of the ones I would like to get rid of because they hurt me. So my willingness to change is really the most important thing, but I have to keep remembering that I'm powerless on my own to try to get rid of these defects. And I used to say to people, well, I just have to try harder. Well, trying harder didn't do anything for me because I really, you know, I was powerless, but I wasn't admitting that. And I thought, well, if I decide to do the opposite, because I've heard that before, doing the opposite helps, but what really helps is my willingness to believe that God is going to take it away from me. So I appreciate the privilege of sharing on this paragraph because it really is clearer to me now. And I thank you for your service, and I pass.
Thank you, Nancy H. And next up is Barbara E., followed by Tina S.
Thank you so much. This is Barbara E. from New Jersey. Step six, am I willing? Now that I see that it is my character defects that have been causing all my problems, do I want them removed? I read the first paragraph on page 76, and it emphasizes willingness as being indispensable. But am I really willing to have God give them up? If I still want to hang on to a few of them, I pray to God to help me willing. What makes me ready for this? Steps four and five. I wanted to change, but I didn't know how, and I didn't know what was getting in my way. Perhaps I felt it was too hard to change. It was easier to stay the same, even when staying the same hurt. Was I fearful that I wouldn't recognize the person I'd become if I changed? And finally, there was the threat of the emptiness that releasing some of my defects might mean. I would not have my shell, my body armor, to protect me. But I do know that I wanted to become willing, accepting, and calm. And I can't pinpoint when or why it finally happened. But I knew I had to be persistent in my commitment to changing my behavior and let my subconscious and spiritual strength take over. It's a mysterious process. But the real work for me in step six is to focus on my strengths and examine the way for me to be ready to let down those old barriers and open my mind to a new way of thinking. It's hard work to be patient for a compulsive person like me and wait for my higher power to unshackle me from my chains. But if all I do is wait, nothing will happen. I had to be ready to accept God's guidance and recognize it. And I also had to get ready to row that boat to shore. I knew that by letting go, I'd be able to reach my full potential and be the woman my higher power wanted me to be. The principles of the program asked me to be honest, hopeful, accepting, rigorous and thorough, and honest with another human being, and now willing to change. Step six was about me asking for the willingness to let my character liabilities go and simply let God in. Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity. I pass.
Thank you, Barbara E. Next up is Tina S., followed by Melissa C. Tina, we can't hear you. Star one. Well, I think we'll go ahead and go up to Melissa C. Melissa, can you get on?
Yes. Hi, it's Melissa C., recovered compulsive overeater in New York. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. Thanks.
Okay, great. I'm just going to set my timer. So, you know, willingness is indispensable, which is it's absolutely necessary. You know, there's no program of action without willingness. Otherwise, it's all theory, you know, and willingness is prepared and ready. And it does not have the word want in it, like someone else had said. Wanting and willing are two different things. And for me, it was something I definitely confused for a long time, because there are lots of things in this program of action I didn't want to do, but I was willing to do it, you know. And so I'm prepared and I'm ready completely. And this readiness, you know, it's absolutely necessary. I'm ready to have God remove from me all the things that I've admitted, you know, in my inventory that are objectionable, you know. And when I look at the word objectionable, it's distasteful, in opposition of, in unpleasant, and offensive. And so, you know, I have to look at that. What are they standing in the way of? What are they in opposition of? And it's recovering. You know, they're in opposition of me recovering and being useful. They are the blocks that we talk about, the obstacles in the way, you know, they're in the way of me living according to God's plan for me. And so, God, of course I'm willing to have that removed, because that's what I'm, that's the work that I'm engaging on, you know. But doesn't mean that I don't still cling to them. You know, sometimes there's things I can't seem to let go of. And I ask God, this is like my prayer, help me be willing to let go of these things. And, you know, and so that comes through practice. Like, I am powerless to remove them, but I have a partnership with God. Like, that was explained to me. And he can't remove the defects that I consistently practice and practice and practice. It's like I have to open up my hands and let them go. You know, so I have to start practicing life without the defects.
which is awkward, uncomfortable, new, you know, foreign, because my defects have muscle memory. I've been practicing them, you know, I'm 48 years old. Some of them I've been practicing all my life, you know, and so it's not what I want to do. It's willing. I'm willing to be awkward sometimes. It means like I don't know what to say in certain situations. I don't know how to behave. I have to pause. I have to pray. I have to meditate. I have to turn and ask other people. Like I have to lose my ego and say, I need help. And that's truly the humbling experience. Thank you. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Melissa C. Larry K.
Hey, Kelly. Thanks so much. Larry K.
You're good. Are you there?
Can you hear me?
I can.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Kelly. Larry K., recovered compulsive reader. You know, what helps me with step six is to remember that all action, every action that I'm willing to take is born in thought. There is not an action that any one of us can take that is not preceded by your thinking. My thinking is flawed. That's the trouble. And with step six, you know, this is a spiritual program. This is the vision for you line. You want the pixie dust line. You want the vision for I and me and my thinking. Call me up. I'll give you the number for that one. Different line. This isn't about you changing your thinking. If you could change your thinking, you would have done it already. We're smart people. We would have done it already. What are you, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80? You would have changed your thinking if you could. You can't. You're screwed. You can't change your thinking, but this God of your understanding can, if you begin to understand. I don't care how long you've gone to church, temple, mosque, the woods, wherever. Maybe I didn't understand how this deal works with this higher power. Maybe I didn't understand. And I think this program is magic. It's not. You're not, you know, it's like I'm going to pray for the willingness. I'm going to get out my stopwatch. Ready, God? You're on the clock, baby. Go. And it doesn't happen. Because with step six, the willingness, you know, I should wear overalls, Kelly, because to remind me, I can overspend, overeat, overjudge, over whatever, because I'm repeating the same patterns of thinking that give rise to those overs. And I need new thinking. And only this God, not me, can change that thinking. And we call it recovery. That's what we call it. Step six is the willingness to get out of the way and let God take the wheel. Then I can move on to the humility that's required in step seven. We'll get there. First, I have to be willing for God to change my thinking and believe that this God of my understanding can and will if I get out of the way. Pretty extraordinary. Happened for me. No pixie dust here, no magic wand, but it happened. With that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Larry K. Tina S., are you able to get on? Tina, press star one. Okay, well, I think I'll take Tina's time. Since I'm the moderator, I can do that. Anyway, this is Kelly S., recovered compulsive eater in Oklahoma. I just wanted to share on this real quick because, like somebody else had shared, you know, I've been around forever, and I thought the idea of working this step was to answer this bunch of the questions in the book, a little booklet I had, and, you know, that didn't quite work that well because I never really understood how that was going to work. I just kind of felt like, okay, now God, take my character defects, and just I did that same thing with my defects like I did with my food. You know, I just wanted God to zap me. I wanted God to zap me abstinent, zap me thin, and zap me free of my character defects, you know. And I never read the big book through and understood, you know, what we were supposed to be doing. I never knew how to actually work the steps. And, you know, the other thing I realized, this is a daily program, and it's a daily reprieve, and not just from my food, but from all of it. And so I have to do the work every single day. And, you know, it's my character defects that get me, somebody else shared this too, about that gets me to that place of uncomfortableness. And one of my things on my gratitude list the other day was, that my defects are making me uncomfortable today, that today I don't want to be the person that I was before. And it's that uncomfortabilityness that drives me to my higher power. And, you know, it's those defects that are the living problem. You know, I had a living problem. Those are the bedevilments that I've suffered from my whole life. And until I get willing to change and be that different loving person of love and tolerance, you know, I'm going to keep doing the same thing. And I like that people shared willingness is not about wanting. You know, it's not about my feelings. I was always waiting to feel like doing it. Well, my feelings got me into so much trouble, guys. I don't know about you, but I always wanted to feel better. That's why I was an addict in every way possible. And so today, because of this program, I can make deliberate choices, you know. I can sit with my higher power and work this program. And, you know, one of the things that I've shared before is I heard another speaker, you know, I always wanted God to just zap me, you know. I didn't want to be uncomfortable. I didn't understand. I wanted to just be happy. My idea of happy meant that everything was going my way, you know. And so, you know, I heard someone share, and I love this, that in the past I wanted God to do it to me. Then I got to a point I wanted God to do it for me. Today I finally realized God is doing it through me, and that's by me, you know, sitting with God, working with others, you know, taking action, doing the steps, living life, being willing to be uncomfortable. Sometimes it just sucks. You know what? It just sucks. You know, I don't like seeing my crap. You know what? But you know what I also don't like? I don't like this disease, and I love my life today. I have a freedom beyond my wildest dreams, like those corny slogans I used to read about and think, really? Whatever. They had those hanging on the wall. Guess what? I have that life today, and I'm so grateful, and it's from doing this work, willing to be uncomfortable, staying connected with God and working with others. Okay, and with that, I am going to open the floor for more sharing, so one at a time. Who wants to share on that paragraph 76?
Matt M.
Elaine D.
Matt M. Elaine D.
Reba
Jamie.
G.
Reba P. Harlan G.
Jamie H.
Jamie H. And let's stop there. So I have Matt M., Elaine D., Reva P., Harlan G., and was it Janie H.?
Jamie H.
A or H?
H.
Hello, Janie. All right, well, everybody please remute star one, and Matt M., you are up.
And thank you for your service, Kelly. This is Matt M., compulsive overeater from New Jersey. Have we tried to make mortar without sand? Have we skimped on the cement put into the foundation? I did it my whole life. Like, I was actually sponsoring at one time without being abstinent, thinking I was helping somebody else, but I wasn't helping anybody, not even myself, you know. And I was very out of control. And step six really didn't really mean anything to me at the time because character defects, I thought I could do this all on my own. I thought I could fix myself, you know, if I could say the words. But I wasn't really good living up to what I said I was going to do. I was very good at, like, walking, talking the talk and not walking the walk. And I'm very grateful today that I'm putting the food aside every day, one day at a time. Tomorrow's going to be 3 weeks that I've been abstinent. And I don't know how I've done it that long, but I'm just grateful that just for today I can choose, making a choice to work the program with my sponsor. My weight is coming down. I'm working with my sponsor. I'm praying to my higher power every day. Working the steps, making phone calls, going to meetings, doing everything I can do for myself. And I'm also calling others as well to get out of my own head because I'm going to be very egotistical and selfish in my head, and I'm trying to be more other-centered. So I call people during the day and try to talk with them and ask them how they're doing rather than asking how I'm doing. It's the first thing that comes in my mouth, you know, because that's the first thing I want to do is talk about myself, and that's not the way this is meant to be. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Matt M. And now it's Elaine D. followed by Reva P.
Thanks so much for your service, Kelly. This is Elaine D. recovered in Massachusetts. And so the first part of these instructions are when we first give away our step five, really making sure that we didn't miss anything. Because if we're going to move on without sharing our grosser defects and our grosser, fears and resentments and things that we need to clean up from the past, we're not going to get the results we want, you know? It's like the Leaning Tower of Pisa. If you're off half a bowl at the foundation, the whole thing's going to be tilted and it may never stand. But for me, step six is part of a step 10, you know? When I find out throughout the day, and even step 11 at night, I find out you know, like I look back, is there something I missed today that I didn't clean up? Is my foundation still secure? Am I continuing to build my recovery on a firm foundation, or have I gone off half a bubble halfway up as I'm building? And one of the things I think about are those recurring 10 steps, the ones I need to do over and over and over and over again. And what are the character defects that I'm seeing? You know, after step 5, I'm like, yeah, take them all, God, you know. But then there's that daily working out of, am I willing today for God to take away the character defects that I just discovered in the 10th step that I did, or the 11th step that I did that I didn't clean up during the day? Am I willing to really look at those character defects and begin to practice the opposite, you know, before I even move into step 7, before I even ask God to remove them? Do I really want to let them go? You know, it's so funny how sometimes things are, it's like, you know, this is my 4th time through with you guys. Thank you, God. You've changed my life. And this book has changed my life, and my higher power is closer than ever before. And yet, you know, I don't know. We must not drift into morbid self-reflection. I don't know why I wasn't getting that every night when I was doing my 11th step. But man, I've realized self-pity is something that I like to hold on to. You know, a pity party can be kind of fun. And this is something I really need to work with God on letting go. Trying to run the show and fix the world and fix you, or think I have the right answer. These are things I need to be willing to let go of and willing to practice the opposite. So after I do a 4-step, I need to really say, am I willing to let go of this? I mean, a 10th step, or I'm going to be doing it again and again and again. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Elaine. And next is Reva P., followed by Harlan G.
Hi, good morning. It's Reva P., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Toronto. Two things struck me in this paragraph. First of all, and I never understood, I don't think I ever fully understood 6 and 7 until recently. So it's many years of misunderstanding what this step really means. But the first thing that strikes me is that this is a huge pivot point. Step 6 is about changing direction. It's like the fork in the road, and I'm starting to change direction. And it's changing from where I'm running the show and I'm this director, you know, trying to arrange and control my weight, my life, and everybody around me, to a point where I'm now letting God take over. So it's a huge, huge pivot point. And what is required is that I find my defects objectionable. And it wasn't until I found the food objectionable and I reached my bottom with that, that I was willing to do the program and do the work that was required. And it's the same with my defects. And, you know, sometimes they stick a little bit closer to me than I would like. And it's often helpful for me, what I have found helpful, is to not just look at what the defects are doing to me and all the harm they're doing to me, but sometimes I really need to take a deeper look at what they're doing for me, because there's some almost backwards kind of benefit that I get, as was shared before, from some of these defects. And, you know, I need to really look closely at the fact that if I am willing to let them go, it means I'm going to have to start taking responsibility. I'm going to have to start taking constructive action. And I don't always want to do that. So once I shed the light on that and I can admit I don't want to do it, but as was shared before, I become willing to do it, and then I can move forward. And with that, I pass.
All right. Thank you, Reva P. And next is Harlan G., followed by Janie H.
Thank you, Kelly. Thank you for your service, and thank you to Team Thursday for making this meeting possible. I'm Harlan G. I'm in sweltering Scottsdale, Arizona. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And when I first looked at these little paragraphs, I thought, gosh, that's not very much. But then it was explained to me by someone who knew the program very, very well, that in chapter 5, we define these character defects of selfishness, self-seeking. We talk about dishonesty, resentment, and fear. And we talk about these defects, and then when I actually do my fourth step, in the fourth column of the resentment section, in the fourth column of the fear section, in the fourth column of the sexual harm section, I am going to be going into the harms that I did other people, and I am going to identify patterns of character defects that have been running through my life since the moment I was born. I'm going to see the terrible destructiveness of these defects, not only to me, but to the people closest to me. I don't need to read any ancillary books. I don't need to read any concordances, although some of them are very good. What I need to do is take a look at my fourth step, and I need to really look at it objectively, and I need to understand that I get a certain vicarious thrill from lying, cheating, stealing, going beyond the rules. I love beating the system. And I loved it so much that there was an effect like that. Dr. Silkworth describes that the food was giving me, that the Kit Kat bars and the chocolate-covered turtles were giving me an effect. So was lying. So was cheating. So was, quote-unquote, beating the system. But who was getting beat? Me. Who was losing? Me. And I have to rely on step two, because either God is or God is not. Can I run my business honestly without cutting corners? Can I have a relationship with someone without gossiping or lying or judgmentalness? Now, I can't shut my brain off, and sometimes some people do things, and I do still think to my head, gosh, that's not what I would do, or that's dumb, or that's narishkeit, or that's mishigas. But I have to understand that we are all children of God and that I am in this world to play the role he assigns. Either I trust him or I don't. And if I'm going to act honestly and I fear those consequences, that's why I have steps for that. Sam Shoemaker told the boys, there are four impediments to God. A resentment I will not let go of. A secret I will not tell, steps 4 and 5. A vicarious thrill that I will not stop, steps 6 and 7. And a restitution that I will not make, steps 8 and 9. And if I will not overcome these impediments holding God's hand the entire time, I'm not going to recover. So what's my choice to be? And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
This is Jamie H. Can you hear me?
Just a moment, Jamie. I'm going to try to find Kelly here. Are you back with us, Kelly? If not, you can go ahead.
I'm back. I was just muted.
Okay, good.
Sorry.
Okay.
Thank you, Jamie. I'm on. I hear you. Jamie, you on? Can I be heard?
I'm Jamie. I thought it was Kelly.
Yeah. This is Kelly S., but it's your turn to share.
Okay. Well, this is Jamie H. without a timer in Jessup, Georgia.
Okay.
I am making my very first trip through these steps. I get on the phone every morning hungry to hear what it is that will carry me through tomorrow or 6 months from now or a year from now. And I hear so many people talk about the first time they went through their steps. I just finished this step just a couple of weeks ago. And I remember the joy that I had when I realized I have a character defect. Had no idea. I thought I walked through life bumping into people whose mission was to make me miserable every day of my life. From the moment I got out of bed,
Oh, there's my husband. He's going to make me miserable. Oh, there's my kids. They're going to make me miserable. Oh, got to go to work. Oh, God, please don't let me go. Please let me just be sick today. Just today, I can come up with a reason to be sick so I don't have to go where they will make me miserable. And voila, the character defect. I was so relieved. I am so relieved right now. Because as I step into my next one, I thought number four would be the worst thing that ever happened to me. Oh, my God, how in the world am I ever going to make that inventory? Now that's over. I'm like, oh, my God, how am I ever going to make amends? How am I going to do it? How am I going to do it? I don't know that I can ever do that. That's got to be the worst thing ever. When really I have the sponsor that says, oh, is that a character defect? And I'm like, oh, it's a character defect. I've got them. She's got them. She had the same ones as me. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for giving me a sponsor that could relate to my character defect. For the first time in my life ever, I understand. Do you remember the first moment you stood in the sunlight of the Spirit? Makes me cry right now. I have hope. I remember writing in my book on page 25 when it talks about rocketed to the fourth dimension. On April 16th, I wrote, what does this look like? On July 19th, I got to write, I was there. This program is amazing. I have a relationship with God I never knew. I thought that he was a statue in my church that I tithed to. I have a relationship with God. And for today, I get to trudge the yellow brick road of happy destiny. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Jamie H. We have time for one or two sharers. Who would like to take those?
Suji.
Suji. One more person. All right, well, Sue, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Good morning. This is Sue G from Michigan. I recovered by the grace of God. I remember the first time I did step six. This was before, long before vision. And they had a list on the OA website of 34. And she emailed me those 34. And I was to go over them, pick out the ones that I felt that I had a problem with. And then I did a lot of writing on each one. And I remember when I first began sponsoring, I did the same thing with my sponsees. But then when I got into vision, my sponsee had me take a list of the four character defects are the four main things that we look for in step 10. And that most everything rests, she said, most everything rests on those four. But I wasn't satisfied. For some reason, that didn't seem right, but making a list of 34, going through that didn't seem right either. So what I did was I put in the four that most everything is based on, but then I got more particular, like gossip, like controlling. And I went with God and talked to God about it and asked him to help me with my list. And this seemed like a middle ground, and that's how I sponsor now. I don't give them the list of 34, but I do tell them to look for things. And I think the most important thing is this willingness. If we learn to become willing in step four and five, to be honest, I think it transfers over. If we stay close to God in following step three, I think it transfers over somehow that willingness that we had then is more. It's easier to keep being willing. We're being honest about our food, so it's easier to keep being honest. anything that we do on a regular basis, I think is easier to continue doing. And so that's where I have found the middle ground. There are things that I know are character defects, but they're not listed under the four, in our fourth step. So, and there are some that I'm not willing. I wasn't willing to let go of. There's still one that the self-controlling. I still thank you. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Suji. Okay, well, we will close. Thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, July 27th, is 10211. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Nessa R., will you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Nessa, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Just had a little trouble unmuting.
Thank you.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.